Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to come before your holy word this morning to listen to what you want to say to us. May your Spirit speak to each one according to our need. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm sure that all of us know the Ten Commandments and could easily say which is the second one, couldn't we? We know it's the second one? All shout at once. Well, this is it. I'll read it from the old version, from the prayer book. Thou shalt not make to yourself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. For thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, excuse me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The people of Israel came out of bondage in Egypt, spent many years wandering in the desert. Amongst the people they were mixing with were many different gods that they worshipped, Canaanite gods. Among them was Baal. And Baal was a very attractive god, so-called god, to many of these people. And although God had given them the commandments, do not have any other gods, do not bow down to them or worship them, they kept going after them, other gods, so-called gods. And Baal seems to be one that they went after quite often. This is what I read. Baal is a sun god and a storm god, depicted in some of the pictures holding a lightning bolt, who defeated enemies and produced crops. A fertility god who provided children. Baal worship is rooted in sensuality and involved ritualistic prostitution in the temples. At times, appeasing Baal required human sacrifices. So somehow, Baal worship was an attraction to the people. Not only Baal, but many other gods. So God was saying quite clearly to the people, as he said as they entered the promised land, obey me, keep my commandments, and I'll bless you. Break my commandments and turn away from me, and I will curse you. That was the strong words that God used. And time and again, the people who'd had so much, God had blessed them in so many ways, still turned away towards other gods. So Elijah the prophet, in the incident we've just read here from 1 Kings, is wanting to challenge the people about this worship of Baal. And this story is a lovely one, at least I like it, except the end bit, but I like the first bits that we read. Because he challenges the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, on this Mount Carmel. This is a mountain, 1,500 feet, big enough to take huge crowds who could still see what was happening. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, now listen, you build an altar here to your God. We'll get two bulls. You take one bull, cut it up as a sacrifice, put it on the stones, put it on the rocks, and see what happens. But don't put any fire there. So they do that. They build an altar, they put the sacrifice on, and they begin to call on their god, Baal. And Elijah says, the God who answers by fire, he is God. So here's the challenge. All the people said, what you say is good. That's verse 22. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but don't light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us. They shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder! Surely he is a god. If he is a god, he'll hear you. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until the blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took the 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench round it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. I didn't look up to see how that was, but it's quite deep, apparently. Quite a deep trench. He arranged the wood, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 jars of water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Soak it. Do it again, he said. And they did it again. Do it a third time. Make sure it's absolutely wet, he ordered. And they did it the third time. The water ran down the altar and even over the everything and even filled the trench. As the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me. So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again from Baal. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, what did they do? They fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I love this story. Quite clear demonstration that the Baals do not help people. They can't. They've got no voice. They've got no power. But the Lord our God can do things. He is our God whom we worship. Thank you, Lord, for that. So I turn to the New Testament reading from Hebrews, which is chapter 12. That starts with a warning against refusing. Refusing God, turning away. And it says in verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, set apart for God. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I just want you to note that little note about a root of bitterness. I've worked in a number of parishes. I've visited many others. And very often there is a root of bitterness. People whispering. They don't like this, they don't like that. Be careful, says the writer to the Hebrews. See that no one among you is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau. You've not come to a mountain like Mount Carmel. You've not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet call blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. It was so fearful. Somewhere there's a light there. Can't see it.
And to your left.
No, still can't see it. Sorry. That's it, thank you very much. Ah, I see the words now. You've not come to that sort of mountain, but on the other hand, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, a different mountain. You come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands. Let's get this picture of the heavenly city, Jerusalem, the one we're going to see, the one we're going to when God takes us from this world. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, and they'll all be singing. They'll all be singing. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Now, people say sometimes, if we say, I know that I belong to God, is that not presumption? Well, I don't know if you think it's presumption, but for me, it is a certainty, as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit, that I know that I belong to Jesus Christ. I know that because some years ago, when I was only 12, I committed my life to Jesus Christ, said, please, Lord, you take my life, be my king, and rule my life. I know that. That happened in history, long time ago. Since then, I've learned to come to him many times, asking for his help, and I love the picture of the worship of the multitudes of angels worshipping the Lord. It's a lovely picture at Christmas we're going to read again. The heavenly choir singing the glory of God to the glory of God. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. See to it then that you don't refuse him who speaks. See to it that you retain your life according to the commandments that God has given. Otherwise there'll be trouble. If they in the old days didn't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of that that can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, says the writer, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. I don't know how much your prayer life is in thanks to God. But we have so many blessings. We are so very fortunate. You think of those Old Testament people and compare them with what we've got today. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Gave his life for us, didn't he? But then he gave us the Spirit to be with us always. Always, right next to us. When we pray, he's right there listening. So, thankful. Let us be thankful, says the writer, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You can't play about with God. Worship the Lord your God and him only. Do not go after other gods, whatever they are, Baals or money or power or position. Don't go after other gods. Serve the Lord. Be holy. Walk with him day by day according to his commandments. That is what the people of Israel failed to do. But when they did do it, God blessed them even more, gave them more and more. So the writer to the Hebrews is taking pictures from the Old Testament and bringing them up to date because they're talking about Jesus. There's a lovely passage that goes on in this book. Therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We are invited today to offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God, which is partly why we come to do it together in church. It's much nicer singing together than singing a solo. It was not bad, was it, for the children, actually? Anyway, I hope they learnt it a bit. It's so wonderful being able to sing the praises of God with others who believe. So, let us do that. But let's be careful that no bitter root rises up among us. I've seen churches split. So the warning is very, very clear. Our God is a consuming fire. But be very careful there's no root of bitterness. Because a root can grow into a tree and cause division. The writer of Hebrews is warning us. Let's hear the voice. No root of bitterness. Let's work together. Let's join together in working for God to make sure that this church is one where Jesus is uplifted. People come to know him as their Saviour, as I do, for which I praise God. I'm not proud of the fact that I'm different, because I'm not, but I have a Saviour. I hope you have too. Hope you rejoice with that Saviour. Walk with him, love him, because he loves you so much and wants you to be his child. May God bless you in your homes. May God bless this church. May we work together. Take away the root of bitterness that causes division. And build the church. Build your church, Lord. Make us one, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord. In your name. Amen.